last week. We were able to finish that up completely, but I will not be able to finish up this chapter this week. As I mentioned last week, it's very easy for us to skip over this middle section in the middle of a very well-known story. We skip right from the story of Rahab in the book of Joshua, and we go all the way to the city of Jericho, and we forget about everything that's very important in between. A lot of times we forget about it because we don't stop to realize what he's trying to tell us when he tells us that part of the story. If I was God, and you have to acknowledge the fact that when Jesus when God gives us the Bible, and he gives us especially historical books, how many of you have felt like there might be gaps in part of the story that he hasn't given to us? That's not necessarily bad. He hasn't given us every single individual detail, which means when he does give you a detail, it's important for you to pay attention to. There's times in the book of Kings where he just mentions a king's reign and he tells you how long he reigned and whether he was good or bad and he moves on. Doesn't tell you a whole lot about it. That might be because there wasn't something specific he needed us to know. That's why he didn't put it in there. So if he spent an entire chapter on how to defeat Jericho, and he spent 3 chapters on what they did when they crossed over the Jordan River, apparently it's important. And as we cross over the Jordan River, we realize that the step we take about walking into the Promised Land, the step we take to enter into the victorious Christian life, is by faith, and it's by following God and not by ourselves. And as we went over there in chapter 4, we realized that God told them before they went into the Promised Land, as men's nature is to get into their next step of wherever they're going, get to the next stage that they've been working towards, and then just move forward, he told them to stop and to set up a memorial so they could remember what God had done in and through their life. But in chapter 5, we're going to be reading the first part. I'm going to back up a little bit into chapter 4 today, but I'm going to hit it from a different angle as we move into chapter 5. So this morning, I'm going to read verse 1 through 9 of chapter 5, and we'll get right into our lesson this morning. Verse number 1, "And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their hearts melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel." New paragraph. "At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day." Now, we're going to explain what we're talking about here. But as we notice something very interesting, this all took place as they crossed over the Jordan River in a city, in a town, in a place called Gilgal. And if we were to look forward, we notice that if we paid attention as we look through the rest of this book, Joshua purposefully makes his way back to Gilgal throughout his journey. He goes out of his way to make Gilgal his new headquarters, so to speak. We find him there in Joshua chapter 9. It says, "And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him," and they told him a report. So somewhere between the battle in chapter 8 and chapter 9, he found his way back to Gilgal. In chapter 10, Joshua finds his way there again. In Joshua 10, verse 7, it says, "Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him." And then in chapter 14, Caleb comes and asks him something, and he says, "Where do I go and find Joshua?" "Well, I guess I should go and find Joshua at Gilgal." Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, and he asked him his request. And we'll talk about that story when we get there. But we see throughout the book of Joshua, Joshua now finds his way all the way back to Gilgal constantly. He makes that his point of reference in his new battle through his promised land. And everything that God had given to him, he always reverted back to Gilgal. Now, what is the significance of that? He constantly made a point of reference in his life so that he could remind himself and he could reference himself to something God had done in his life before he moved forward. He would go there after a victory and before another battle to that place where God had done something in his life. To apply it to our life, so many Christians try to move forward in their Christian life without stopping to make a point of reference. And our point of reference as a Christian is where God has done something for us, which is always at the cross. It's where God has done something in our life. And before we move forward in our battles, but after we've had victory from a battle, we must always revert back to what God has done and the victory that God has played in our life, which is what he has done in our life, which is at the cross. Notice where their point of reference was not. His point of reference, he didn't constantly revert back and remember what had happened at Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea was the place where long before in the book of Numbers, they had come to the Jordan River and they decided not to go across because they didn't have any faith. They decided not to take the power that God had given to them. They decided not to move forward in their Christian life. And they wandered back around the wilderness again and came back to that same place to move across. That wasn't where he returned to. He returned to where God had played victory in his life. That was his point of reference, not his point of defeat. And in this chapter, and what was fascinating about this chapter is many very important things happen at Gilgal that were to remind Joshua of what he needed and what God had done so that he could move forward. So we're going to look at five different descriptions of what Gilgal is, but today we're only going to go over two because there's many of them. So if you want victory, you have to establish in your life that point of reference. You have to establish a Gilgal in your life. So have you established one yet? Do you always refer back to what God has done before you move forward? And if not, we're going to learn about why that's important. So number one, we already know this one, so I'm going to go through this pretty quickly. But because we're talking about it in this way, I'm going to hit it from a different angle. Gilgal is a place of remembrance. It's a place of remembrance. This goes back to chapter 4, where it says that this may be a sign among you of all the things that God had done. And then it was a sign for their children, a sign for the rest of the world. And that place was supposed to be a sign, a remembering place for them of what God had already done. And that's not the only thing, because we're going to go over the next four over the next couple weeks. But that's not the only thing that it was there for, but they were supposed to remember. The very first thing that they did was made it a location of a place of victory, a place of remembrance. They didn't want to forget about what had happened. So they set up a memorial for themselves and for their families and for all the world to remember what God had done for them. And one of the reasons why they did this was so that if they had to return across where they came, they would remember, if they went back to where they used to believe or back to where other people had worshipped or tried to live like the world, they could remember what God had done for them. And what's interesting is how this chapter starts. It just kind of talks about the things that they did, but it starts by saying when they got over, all those nations saw what God had done, and so they trembled because of what God was doing in the children of Israel. And so when they stop and think, well, maybe I should serve their gods, maybe I should be like the other nations, maybe I should be like the world, those memorials remember the time when everyone else said, that God is more powerful than mine is. But we often get distracted by that because we don't set up a place of remembrance. But what were they supposed to remember? What were they remembering? And we'll go over that this morning. Letter A. They were supposed to remember who God was, to remember who God is. This is part of, the only reason why they made it across was not because of their power, but because of who God was. And so when they reverted back to this point of reference, they were remembering who God was. God had shown them that day that it was through their power and promises that they could move forward and not their own. Sometimes we were in our Christian life, we forget who God is and all that he has done and can do through us. Psalm 46:10 says this, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." We sometimes don't move forward because we forget who God is. We forget his power, and we forget what he's done. And when we don't remember who he is, we're not going to have that peace to move forward because we're trying to do it in our power instead of his. And that's why he says in Psalm 46, "Be still, stop, listen, and remember who he is, because he is your refuge. Letter B, to remember what God had done. To remember who he is and to remember what God had done. They needed to stop and remember that God was the only way that they had victory in the past. And so God would be the only way that they could have victory in the future. God had done marvelous things before, and he could do it again. So when they got over across the Jordan River and they experienced a miracle in their life, Joshua made sure he went back to Gilgal before he went over in chapter 9 to his next battle. He made sure he went back to Gilgal to remember what God had done before he moved forward in chapter 10. He went back to Gilgal to make sure he was ready before he would go into his next battle in chapter 14. He was remembering what God had already done. And when we stop and think about what God has done, not only in our life, but what God has just done in general, the fact that he's created this world for us, he's created us to have a relationship with him, he's died on the cross for our sins, everything that he's done for us, and in our individual life, what he's done when we were younger, what he's done when we first started praying and asking for things, and he's provided, what he's done throughout our life, if we don't remember that, we're not going to move forward next time. Because he shows us those things to build our faith. And as we forget those things, then our faith isn't building at all. Remember what God has done. I wrote this verse down, Amos 5:8. Seek him that maketh the seven stars in Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Seek him who's done all those things. That's your God. Search after him. Obviously, you can remember what he's done in our life with our salvation and giving us strength in harder times, but don't forget those as they go away. Letter C. They're supposed to remember who God was, remember what God has done. Letter C, to remember why they were in the promised land. This was a place of reference to remember why they were there in the first place. It was going to get difficult as they were moving forward. As they were entering a new stage in their life and entering a new place that they had not been before, it was going to become difficult, and we're going to find in a few chapters that it did. But they had to go back and remember why they were there in the first place, why they had moved forward, because if they get there and it's too difficult, they say, well, I might as well just go back. I might as well just go back to the wilderness because it was simpler there. It wasn't as hard. Satan wasn't fighting me as much, and so if I just live mediocre, then I can have less battles. But if they went back there, they could remember why they were there in the first place. They were there because God had told them to be there, number one. When you're in a battle over a stronghold in your life, that's why you're there, because God's asked you to be there. But also, he's put you there to give you victory. And Pastor said this the other day, and it really struck me. There's no such thing as victory without battle. Because if you're not fighting a battle, then it's not a victorious moment to have. If you went out and there was a piece of land that you were fighting over, but if you went over and there was an empty field, you wouldn't say you had victory. You just claimed it. Satan's going to fight you, and so victory comes with battles. And so when God put them in the promised land to have victory, that meant there was going to be battles and struggles that were going to be in their way, that God was going to help them through. The reason why they were there was because God put them there and because God wanted them to have victory. So when it became difficult, that point of reference was, this is why we're here, to move forward, which sometimes is difficult. And sometimes it's hard in our own life. We're going to start moving forward in our Christian life. There's going to be things that Satan does not want to let you take back. There's going to be things in your life that Satan doesn't want you to let go. He doesn't want you to get rid of that stronghold. And so it's going to be a fight. Something's going to happen in your life. I was talking to several different people and about different people that I know that have just recently gotten saved. And it's interesting how they'll get saved and everything's great and they're moving forward, and then something happens in their life that makes it a very legitimate reason to make Christianity extremely difficult all of a sudden. And so it's hard for them to move forward. And they get there and they think, well, was this worth it? Was this enough? Is what I get, is the Lord really, this is this what he puts into my life? It's a battle. But the reason they were there was to have victory over that portion of their life, which is going to be a struggle sometimes along the way. God put them there to give them more than they had before. And they had to remember why they were there. Letter D. And this one's important. This is a good place to remember how to keep having victory. And the way you keep having victory is the way you had victory the first time. The victory is not different. It always involves the same things. Now, each decision might be different depending on the circumstances, but it always involves the same way that they had to have victory the first time. We've already studied this, but number one, they had to die to self. That was the first thing that they had to do. Remember, the Jordan River was a picture of death. When they entered the victorious Christian life, they had to die to their will and their decisions and their wants and their fears and move forward by God's command. They had to die to self. They had to surrender their will, number two. And number three, they had to follow Christ. We already went over that. That was a whole lesson all by itself. But those three things were still true. And they were going to be true in every battle that they faced. And when they get to Jericho, they had to die to themselves. They had to make themselves look weak before God could show himself strong through them. They had to give up their will and what they would have done and give it to the Lord. And they had to follow him along the way to have victory. And the next battle, when they decided not to die to themselves, and they decided not to follow the Lord, and they decided not to surrender their will, they didn't have victory. This was a place, and also, by the way, between his first battle and his second one, Joshua didn't go back to Gilgal, if you notice. And we'll get there. I'll mention that when we get there. But we forget how to keep having victory, because suddenly we'll have victory by surrendering and humbling ourselves to the Lord. And the next time, we have this strange inclination that we can do it all by ourselves, and that now I have the power to have victory in my life. I have the power to get rid of that stronghold. I have the power to have victory over sin. And so I'm going to do it in my strength, but we don't go back and remember, this is how I had victory the first time. This is how I have a victory every other time after that. Joshua then started after the time he lost to constantly go back to Gilgal and remember to have victory, and then he did after that again. This is a place where you have to remember the only reason, and this is important, he constantly went back to his past, but he constantly went back to his past to remember the things that God had done in his life. He did not constantly go into his past to Kadesh Barnea to remember how he had had defeat and how he had lost because he didn't have faith in the Lord. The only reason to go back into your past is to remember what God has done for you and how to move forward and what he's placed into your life and who God is, not to go back and remember your defeats. Joshua didn't constantly refer to, I messed up this time, so I'm not going to mess up next time. He went up constantly back to, this is what God has done, and so this is how I have victory again. That was when he went backwards, to remember what God had done positively in his life. And so what our problem so many times is that we constantly go back into our past, but we constantly go back into our past to when we've been defeated and we've made the wrong decision and we beat ourselves up over it over and over again. And we beat ourselves up because I made it wrong last time and see all the problems. We had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years and we didn't have faith and we lost so many power. And that's fine, but that's over. Remember how you got to where you were and then how you can move forward. That's what he wants you to go back to. And Gilgal is a place of remembrance of what God has done and the power you can have and how to continue to move forward. So do go back to those things at Gilgal. Gilgal is a place of remembrance. Number two, this is completely different. Gilgal is a place of renunciation. Renunciation. Now, this is an interesting thing. And if we can set aside the weirdness of it for a minute, this is very important to understand. This is one of the reasons why we just kind of move forward and then we kind of forget it along the way, because it says some things and we don't understand what it's talking about. For sake of time, I won't read it again because we already read it at the very beginning. But once you get now into Joshua chapter 5, all the nations nearby are trembling because the children of Israel now cross the Jordan River, which is on their turf, and they don't know what's going to happen next. They just saw God do something miraculous in their life, and so suddenly their walls aren't looking as strong as they were before. But the very next thing for us, for the children of Israel to do, was to just move forward. But even though God's already asked them to stop to set up a memorial, God asked them to stop for a couple more days for something else. You see, one of the things that they were supposed to do as a person of God, of the people of God, every single boy was supposed to be circumcised as a sign that he was part of the people of God. That goes back long before the law of Moses, which they were following. That goes back all the way to Genesis chapter 17. I think I have that in your handout. Genesis chapter 17. This is a covenant, and this is a sign of the covenant that God had given to Abraham long before. He called Abraham out of the world, and he was setting up a people for his name. And he made a sign of that people with Abraham. Verse 10 of chapter 17. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and that shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And verse 14 it says, and the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. It was a sign that they were part of those people, that he was associating with them, that they were saying, I am with God and he is with us. But see, there was a problem, because if we read back through the beginning of chapter 5, everyone that came out of Egypt had performed that. All the men had done that when they walked into the wilderness. But as they came into the promised land and were supposed to move forward, not too long after they left Egypt, and they turned back and decided not to go in, they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. According to Joshua chapter 5, that whole generation died, and every boy that was born during those 40 years, now making an entire new nation, none of those people are alive except for Joshua and Caleb. None of them had done that yet. None of them had put that sign on themselves. None of them had made the sign and kept the covenant with the Lord that they were associating with him, because they were still living in unbelief. They were not attaching themselves to him. But really, the cool thing about this is that the Bible specifically mentions that this sign really has nothing to do with the outward decision or the outward sign of it or the outward look of it. It all has to do with what your heart is. And it says that throughout the Bible. Romans chapter 2 says this, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart and in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. What it has to do with is when God said, associate with me and take the power that I have and don't live in unbelief and trust my promises, that sign was part something that came out, but it had to do with their heart. And they had not done that, because when they got to the next step that God had wanted them to take, they chose not to. And so they went through their life and decided not to make that sign saying, I'm with him, I believe him, I'll move forward like he had in the covenant so long before. And so this renunciation in their life, and I'm going to get to where I'm talking about in just a second. This renunciation in their life, letter A, is they needed to renounce, well, we need to renounce our unbelief and disobedience. They're going to swing by really quickly, and if you have your attendance slip, you can just drop that in on the way by. We'd appreciate that. All right, by performing this rite of circumcision, now we've kind of set up what it meant. By performing this rite of circumcision, they were renouncing their unbelief. And their unbelief was also disobedience, because God had told them to move forward, and they decided not to. And so when they went back into the wilderness, they decided not to put on that sign which said, I believe God, I will obey God. So they didn't attach it to themselves. By putting that back on all the men of any age, they were saying, I am renouncing how I disbelieved the Lord in the past. And I'm renouncing how I disobeyed God in the past, and now I will do something different in the future. That step that they took, they weren't just going to move forward. The Lord wanted them to stop and get rid of the bad decisions that they had in the past. Letter B, they needed to purify themselves. We need to purify ourselves. That place was a place where they were renouncing everything and all the wrong decisions they had made, and it was to purify them for the future. Jeremiah 4 says it this way about this sign. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. He said that in that verse. In Jeremiah, that's still in the Old Testament, and he said, circumcise your heart. It really didn't matter. The whole outward thing was not necessarily the point, but the fact that their heart was attached to the Lord, that their heart was looking towards Him. And so He says, get your heart back to where it's supposed to be and purify yourself. Because they were living in all the old stuff of their past. And He said, now I want you to get rid of all that. Renounce what you had before and purify yourself for something different for the future. Colossians 2 says it this way. Ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Funny how it uses that sign throughout the Bible. That sign, which is not even necessarily talking about the outward sign, but saying when you do that, when you are part of the family of God, you have the opportunity to put off the sins of the flesh and renounce the things of the past and purify yourself. Those two things go together. If you renounce the things of the past, then you look forward to something different in the future. He wanted them to purify themselves. We're so worried that by putting away the world, we are somehow being incomplete. See, that's what they were doing. When they were there, if they did that sign, they were taking away part of themselves. And he says in Colossians 2, by talking about circumcision, he just says, you're complete in Him. They didn't need their flesh, they needed God. We need this flesh we need in order to live, but that's not how we ought to live spiritually. He's given us this body to live on this earth, but that's all that it's supposed to be for. And we so many times yield to our flesh and yield to the world and yield to what we had before, afraid to get rid of it because we're afraid we'll be incomplete without it. And He says that we're complete in Him. Letter C. This sign also involved a humbling. We need to humble ourselves. They needed to renounce where they were before. They need to purify themselves for the future, and they need to humble themselves before they move forward. This was a humbling thing, because they had guys. It was supposed to do it when the child was 8 days old, but now none of them had done it, and so now they're about to move forward, and they're about to grab the new promised land by the horns and just take it for all it's worth, and He says, I want you to stop and do something that is very humbling to you. They had to admit that they needed to do it, and they should have done it before. They had to rely on God as opposed to themselves. They gave up their strength. They had to cut themselves down a notch in order to be fit for greater things. That was a system that they wanted to go through so that they could realize that they were not as big as they thought. They need to humble themselves before the Lord. The reason why many of us are unable to be used is because we refuse to humble ourselves. We refuse to ever admit that we were wrong in the past and should have done something different before. We refuse to admit that we need God's power instead of ourselves. We refuse to renounce where we have been. Somehow we take pride in our flesh and expect God to use us anyway. We expect that God is impressed with who we are, and He should love our confidence in our own ability. But before we move forward, humility is what is necessary. And they were about to take on many battles, but He was not about to let them go forward confident in their flesh. He wanted them to move forward realizing that they were not very big themselves. James 4 says this, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Why? Shouldn't He want us to be joyful? That's not what it's saying. He says, realize who you are and where you've done and be mournful for the sin that you've committed. And He says in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. He didn't say He's going to lift you up if you're confident in your own strength. He's going to lift you up if you humble yourself and realize who you are. So they need to humble themselves. Letter D, we need to have faith. We need to have faith. See, we're not relying on our own strength really is a step of faith because we've always relied on our own strength. If I do it, I'm really bad at this in real life, in everyday life. If I just do it myself, I just feel better about it. Now, whether or not I'm any good at it isn't really the point. But if I just do it myself, I feel better because at least I know what's going on. You know, my own hands are doing it, so if I mess up, I know where the problem was, whatever. And so when we say, I won't rely on my strength to move forward, or my ability to move forward, or my strength to get rid of the sin in my life, or my strength to get rid of a stronghold in my life, or my strength to have victory over this in my family, or in my relationship with other people, whatever it is, then we're having to take it out of our hands and put it into somebody else. And the reason this was a step of faith for the children of Israel was because notice how he didn't ask them to perform this rite of circumcision on the other side of the Jordan River. So they cross, and now they're on enemy territory. So all the nations are now watching them, and then he tells them to do something that is debilitating for every single man of war in their entire army, and they're just going to sit there until they were made whole. Sitting there vulnerable right in front of all the enemies, and they could have just rushed out and probably killed them all. But that's what God asked them to do. So it didn't have to do with their power. They had the very first moment they stepped into the promised land, the first thing they had to do was say, it's not my power, it's God's commandments. They were about to listen to that the very next chapter over. When God was going to ask them to do something that had nothing to do with that their power, but an obedience to the Lord. But you see, the reason why they were ready to do that in Joshua 6 was because they had just done that in Joshua 5. They had to learn to have faith in the Lord. Verse number 8 says this in Joshua 5. It came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were made whole. They stayed there and just waited till everything was ready to move forward. They stopped and they had to trust that that was okay because the Lord told them to do it. It's easy to get on a spiritual high and try to attack hell with a squirt gun in our own power. And then we fall apart because we never took time to stop in Gilgal and humble ourselves and remember that we need God. You know, when they crossed the Jordan River, this was kind of an interesting thing. I think the reason why he did it on that side was for that reason, but also to kind of cut themselves down and remember they still need the Lord. They crossed the Jordan River and they just went over on dry ground on a river that was flooding during flood season. And now they're on the other side and the first thing they look at, by the way, Gilgal is right next to Jericho if you look at the map. They're looking at the walls of Jericho. It's probably in the distance that they can see it. And our natural inclination is to just rush forward. But he wanted them to stop and remember, know what? You need me. Remember that you need me. Remember to have faith in me. Secondly, we need God's forgiveness. We need God's forgiveness. Verse number 9. The Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. So the reason why Gilgal is the name it is on the map is because he rolled away now the reproach that they had taken with them for so long, that they had taken from them out of the world in Egypt. The word Gilgal means to roll away. And it was at that moment that they claimed God's forgiveness by renouncing their things of the past and by purifying themselves for the future, and he rolled away the things that they had done in the past, he put them in the past and then told them to look forward. When they made that decision and when they renounced where they were before, when they made a repentant state of mind, that's what that is, to change your mind. When they renounce where they were before and purify themselves for the future by doing something that was something they had neglected for so long, God said to them, I have now rolled away that reproach which you've carried from you out of the world, out of Egypt, and I have put it in the past. Now you can move forward. We try to go back to it and say, man, I made bad decisions, but the Lord has rolled them away. That's why it's a very important thing for us to go back to Gilgal, because we can remember, if I have renounced where I was before, if I have renounced my unbelief and my disobedience, and I look forward and I ask for the Lord for forgiveness, he has put it away, and I don't have to live there anymore. And that's why I think it's really cool, letter F, that this was a permanent change. This was a permanent change, and we need a permanent change. Circumcision was a permanent decision. Once it was done, it was finished. They had forever identified themselves as people of God. Right or wrong in their own minds, people would judge them and their life accordingly. People would forever see them as the children of the Lord. And whether they did the right thing or the wrong thing, people will judge their God accordingly. They had made, though, a permanent decision in their life to follow. Now, in our life, we can easily make this decision in our life temporary. Sometimes in our life we say, I will follow the Lord today. And we expect or we wish to follow the Lord forever in the future. We wish to put those things in the past and move forward for the victory that God has for us and to forever identify ourselves in belief and trust in our Lord. But then in the back of our minds, we think, but if maybe I choose not to, I can go back to where I was before. See, Joshua made a permanent decision with the people of Israel. And see, the hardest thing about making ourselves a living sacrifice is that sometimes we crawl back off of our altar. That's what we often say about what it says in Romans chapter 12. Paul says to them, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of everything that God has done for you in the past, present your bodies now a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Our life every day should be remembering that what we've done in the past is in the past if we have asked the Lord to put it in the past. And he tells us to look forward. And if our next step is more difficult, we still need God's power. And to constantly come back to Gilgal to remember what God has done and remember how we've renounced everything that was before it. And we're not living in the wilderness anymore. We're living in the promised land. And the Lord has better things for us. And if we continue to keep that decision in our life, the Lord can continue to use it. The reason why so many Christians have a problem with that is because they want circumcision to be temporary, or they want that identification in their life to be temporary and they can go back if they want. But that was the whole point. God wants us to permanently leave the self-life behind and to know that our future holds only the Christ life, which involves our surrender to him and victory over the world. So establish a Gilgal in your life to remember that you were renounced. But we're going to go over the next three things, which are still in Joshua chapter 5, next week. Three other identifications of what Gilgal is. And so we're going to pray. We're going to have a couple quick prayer requests here in just a moment, and we'll be dismissed to our morning service. Father, thank you so much for how much you've already done. And Lord, we thank you for how you've provided for us and how you've guided us along the way. And Lord, so oftentimes we can fail to follow you because we don't believe that you're going to be enough. Lord, if we make that decision to move forward and to leave those things in the past, to renounce where we've been so that we can move forward in faith, Lord, I pray that we would follow every one of your instructions and every one of the things that you tell us to do, even if they don't make sense. And it may just be because you want us to humble ourselves so we can be fit to be used. But Lord, I pray that we would establish that point of reference in our life so we can remember and we can constantly refer back to what you want us to do and how you want us to live, so that every battle and every victory that we have, we remember that it comes from you and not in our own power. We pray that you would be with these many prayer requests here in just a moment, that you meet those according to your will. We pray so in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Paul?